Daniel 12, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn over to Daniel 12. I believe I'm going to back up there just a little bit and read something. This might be of interest to us, so we might ought to read a good little bit. You find Daniel here in Revelation 10. The angel of God has appeared to Daniel in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. This thing was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And it was told Daniel, let's just read it starting in Revelation, or in Daniel 10, not Revelation. Revelation and Daniel run so close together. You think about Revelation. God said to Daniel in the book of Daniel, seal it up. He said to John in the book of Revelation, John, don't seal it. And yet it was the same thing that Daniel saw. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is called Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Euphrates. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me up upon my knees, and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remains no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. When I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Also, I in the first year of Darius, the Medes, even I stood to confirm, to strengthen him. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet 3 kings in Persia, and the 4th shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the rim of Grecia. And the mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the 4 winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others besides those. And the king of the south shall be strong in one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. And in the end of years they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement, but she shall not retain the power of the arms, neither shall he stand nor his arms, that he shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times. But out of a branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against him, and shall prevail. Now he goes on to explain here the different things that will take place concerning the kings and the kingdoms, the wars, that will extend all the way from their day over to the end time. Most of this he's speaking of here has to do with Alexander the Great and the kings of Persia. As a matter of fact, here where the angel told Daniel, said, I've got to go back. And he said, as quick as I go, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. I'll return to fight with the prince of Persia. The Medes and the Persians being in rule, the angel knew that war not only consists of men that fight in the earth, but during that time that there were certain people that God gives his angels charge concerning them, and they protect them during the war. So he said, I've got to go back because the prince of Grecia is coming. I'm to fight against the prince of Persia. Well, that is, there is coming an overthrow to the Medo-Persian kingdom, or there is coming an overthrow to another kingdom, and this kingdom must arise according to the things and knowledge of God. Thus, Alexander the great Grecian kingdom was to come, and the great Grecian leader was to come out of what I believe to be the world of sports. I believe that Greece is the very key to the world of sports. That's the very foundation of it. As a matter of fact, in these things that we read here, it points to the book of Revelation where John saw this great beast come up out of the water. In Revelation 12, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. All right, now, if you'll notice, jumping all the way over here to the book of Revelation in the end time, you'll find God speaking to John. He's telling John not to seal the book. And if you'll notice in Revelation 12 that this same angel that the Bible spoke of, even Michael the warrior, he does exactly in Revelation 12, which is the end of the world. It shows very clearly that Revelation 12 has to do with the end of the world. The fulfillment of the prophecy to Daniel of the great angel that stood and talked to Daniel, you'll find the fulfillment in Revelation 12, way over here in the end of the world. The angel said, and in the last days, the great prince shall stand for his people, even at the time of the end, he said, and all that are written in the book shall be delivered. Also said, some of them that sleep shall awake to everlasting life. It is denoted that some of them, because the Bible said there shall be a resurrection even of the just and of the unjust, and in that at this particular time, the just, the righteous, shall be resurrected, bringing in the translation, for we shall not exceed those that sleep. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, changed and then caught up to meet the Lord Jesus, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So he says here in Daniel 12, he said that he will stand at that moment. Revelation 12 says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. And it goes on down to say in Revelation 12 and 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then comes the sounding that there is salvation and strength. So then we see him doing just exactly what God said that he would do in the end time. God said he would do this, that the great prince would stand for his people, and that he would do this in the end time, and that at that time it would be the resurrection. But he said, Daniel, he said, now, you close the book up and you seal the book, because this is for yet a time appointed. He said, the vision is for a long time. Just seal it up, Daniel. You'll rest in your lot before it comes to pass. But see, here's the same great vision coming to pass, which means that what God said to Daniel is the same over here with John hundreds of years later, proving that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as I said, God doesn't change. Whatever God said that he's going to do, he will do it. In its time and its season, it will be fulfilled. Whatever God says I'm going to do, he will do it. Doesn't matter how long it takes. God said, I will do it, and God will do it. And so then we find over here in the book of Revelation that God is fulfilling what he said to Daniel. We see the thing taking place. Not only there in Revelation 12 do we see this taking place, but if you'll look at the visions that Daniel saw, he saw that great vision of the bear. And then he saw that great vision of the leopard. And before that, he saw that great vision of the lion. Then when we come over to the book of Revelation and we see John seeing the revelation of Jesus Christ, where Daniel saw it in the veil, John likewise saw it. And then we see over here in the end of the world that John again sees the bear. John again sees the leopard. John again sees the lion. But whereas Daniel saw it as a great lion of a Babylonian kingdom, and then a great bear as a Medo-Persian kingdom, and then as a leopard, which was the Grecian kingdom, John doesn't see it like that. John sees it as a three-in-one, a constitution of the three great bodies as they come together in a world conference and in a world union, in a world power to come under the regime of Antichrist. And sees these three great powers as being the greatest power of all. If you notice in the days of Daniel, as these kingdoms begin to dwindle away, there came another kingdom that was a kingdom that was a power of iron. Saw this beast with these great nails. You know, his claws was like nails and teeth, as we say, that was devouring. And he said it was different, diverse from all the rest of the beasts. Said this beast that came was an outstanding beast. Later, we are reminded that Rome took the people, put them in what they called the Iron Maiden. And this Iron Maiden would open up, a person would step into it. It had nails in it, it would close up, and the nails would go through the body and open up and let them fall down into a pit or whatsoever. Daniel saw this great, great, awful, hideous thing as being a great beast that was devouring that way. Which means that the people that are not born again, people who are not the predestinated of Christ, people who are sinner people that does not know God and that's not going to serve God, they are brute beasts. Some of them made to be taken and burned. Some of them are beasts of one kind. Some of them are beasts of another kind. Jesus referred to Herod as a fox. Some of them are beasts of one kind. Some of them are beasts of another kind. Some of them are brute beasts made to be taken and burned. So then when John saw this great thing, he saw it in a constitution, whereas it was an animal or a beast coming up out of the waters. If you notice, this beast never come up out of the waters until after that the battle had taken place in heaven. Until after it had been fulfilled to this extent of that which Daniel had said, that Michael had war in heaven. He had war in heaven, and to that extent the prophecy was fulfilled. Now there was more to come, because the Bible teaches that in Revelation 19 there's going to be an all-out battle. And Christ is going to meet Antichrist, and there's going to be war wedged against all the powers of the confederated world. Now, but here we see this fulfilled, and immediately we find out that just as quick as the battle is over, just as quick as Lucifer goes out, just as quick as the days of grace is finished, just as quick as the blood is moved off of the seat of atonement, we find immediately that out of these waters comes a great beast. Now, I made mention of it today. After that Lucifer is cast out of heaven, he cannot be hidden anymore as a spirit. So he enters into a human being. He comes in a human form. John said these waters are people. Out of the midst of these waters comes somebody that's pushing and pressing and building and magnifying himself until he comes to be the preeminent among all of those people that John referred to as waters. He eventually takes over the computerized system that we spoke of concerning Brussels and the 10 nations that represent the 10 horns. He comes up and through a numerical order of a computerized system by his great brilliance and intelligence and the tree of knowledge, which is the educational system. He takes over the government. He takes over the world of sports. He takes over the world of religion. He confederates these things. He puts them all together. All three of these major things he compiles into one, and he puts them all together. Now, if you'll notice that these things that Daniel saw represented just exactly the three major things that human beings have to have for survival. Human beings, as I've said in the past, have to have three major things to be able to survive. And if you'll notice, the things that Daniel saw was, individually speaking, three great kingdoms of the very things that mankind is dependent upon. So then in this we see one of the great things was the lion head. John said this beast had a lion head. And when we look back to see the lion head in the days of Daniel, it was a great kingdom. What kind of kingdom was it? It was the Babylonian kingdom. What kind of kingdom was the Babylonian kingdom? It was a religious kingdom. It was a priesthood kingdom. It was that that was a derivative from Nimrod. And it was carried on over even under the Catholic powers, of the Roman powers. And the rights of the priesthood was bequeathed to them, to the priesthood of the Roman Catholic Church through Julius Caesar and the other great leaders that come up. So it was a religious kingdom, a great power that ruled all the world. This is why Daniel found such a place down in Babylon, and why the three Hebrew children found the place that they did. See, God referred to Nebuchadnezzar as being his servant. He referred to that there as being something that related to him, inasmuch as he would do what he commanded him to do after that he had processed him, put him out, let his fingernails grow out like claws and his hair grow out like feathers, and God had put him through this suffering, then he would do what God wanted him to do. He would be the servant of God. So then Daniel found great favor because Daniel was religious. And the three Hebrew children found great favor because the king being superstitious or the king being religious to this extent, he wanted to know what was going on in the invisible world. So then Babylon became something that was an impregnable thing. The walls you could not penetrate. They were great and they were mighty. They were powerful. These walls, God blessed the place till he allowed it to become like that because it was for his purpose. Then Daniel, if you remember, saw a great bear, a Medo-Persian thing, another great kingdom, a great bear that was very slothful, but he was a great, powerful bear, whereas we find that this great kingdom represented a government. It was a government that came in, and this great government swallowed up, as we say, the Babylonian powers to this extent. It came in and it swallowed them up in that it converted them over, for the Bible says that the beast will carry the great whore. And so then the great priesthood fell to the power of this bear, and this great power took over. Then came another great thing. If you remember John's great beast that he saw come up out of the water, had the lion head, but he had the bare feet.
Then the next great thing that he saw was a leopard. This great leopard that had the four wings that represented the four generals that was in the army of this Grecian power. This leopard that he saw was a great power, a great kingdom that came in and literally swallowed up all the rest. Being Alexander the Great, the Bible points out in these visions that was given to Daniel that these four wings are these other visions that he saw that was relative to the leopard vision. It showed that four generals would come out of it, and how that one would go one way and one would go another way. When the horn of the great he-goat was broken, which represented Alexander the Great, when these horns came out, it showed that one went in a certain direction, another in another direction. We brought it out in preaching in sermons at different times. It showed that one of them waxed great toward the Holy Land. And this particular one that waxed great toward the Holy Land had to do with the Antichrist. So then when we see this Grecian power, we know that Alexander the Great brought in the Hellenistic religion, but the great thing of that day was sports. John, when he saw this beast that come up out of the water, he saw the bare feet. He saw the lion head, but he also saw the leopard body. Whereas I said today or this morning that one of the major things are tools of the devil, one of the most powerful tools of today is the leopard body of the sports that the devil will use. The devil will cause the body of this beast that John speaks of, that dreadful beast. The Bible speaks of the mark of the beast, that great, great beast that's coming into power. Remember, God showed Daniel people as beasts. So then when this great beast comes into power, John saw this great beast as having a leopard body, which means that the constitution of the body of this beast is going to be Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, UPC, Catholic. It's going to be the Latter-day Saints, as we call them. It's going to be the Jehovah's Witness. It's going to be all of the denominations of the world. It's going to be every religious body of the world. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't believe that the Church of God and the UPC and whatever, I don't believe they'll all confederate together like that. But I said years ago that they would do it. And I say this again when I have the vision of the great meeting, Washington for Jesus. When we got to the Washington for Jesus meeting, the UPC was represented. Their speaker was there. The Baptist was represented. Their speaker was there. The Church of God was represented. Their speaker was there. And on and on and on, all of them had confederated together in that great body. Every one of them walking together. And why? Because they all agree. They all agree. You say, Brother Pike, they most assuredly could not agree because one's doctrine is thus and another's doctrine is thus. But see, if you have a doctrine of compromise, then you all agree because it is a doctrine of compromise. Now, the Bible said, come out from among them and be a separate people. I'm not against God's people coming together. I believe they ought to come together. But if God's people have got to compromise and get together on the basis that here is somebody over here that's not living for God, and they're religious, and this other body says if we take them, then we'll come together. I'm for staying apart. I don't see putting a piece of puzzle into a place that doesn't fit in the puzzle, that it might distort the picture or the image. I believe that we should stay apart until the proper piece comes in that we might fit together with that one thing. By improperly placing things together, that's the very thing that's going to deceive the people, and that's the very thing that's going to bring them an Antichrist for a leader. Like a man made the statement not too long ago, he got up before the great multitudes, and he was a great leader. He said that the people as a whole did not care who it was, if it was Antichrist or the devil or whatever it was. He said all they wanted was a leader that could settle the problem. He also made them to know
that he was in agreement with it.
It is a true fact that the three things that people must have is religion, government, and recreation. Therefore, if there is a communistic government, which is represented by the flying of the flag of the bear, if there is a communistic government, I said for sure it will carry the Babylonian head, which will be the Catholic Church or the Great Whore. Because the Bible says that that beast carried the Great Whore. John looked and saw the revelation, and he marveled because he said, the Great Whore set upon the beast. I made the statement, I said, folks, the time is at hand. And I said, now you watch the Catholic Church cater to the communist power, and you watch them come together. Though communism has always hated Catholicism and vice versa, communism has literally buried the priest alive. I said, but you watch and see, having to have religion, I said, the communist government of the world will never be able to conquer the people. You can't conquer people with a government. You can't come to be world power or to be unified just with the government. It won't work. But through religion, you can do it. Through religion, you can do it. Alexander the Great conquered by the inspiration of the Hellenistic religion. Babylon stood strong by their priesthood, doctrine, and conviction of conscience. So then it is a true fact that religion will do the job when nothing else won't do it. You can get two people with religion when you can't get them to take a bow any other way. When it comes to a government, two governments will war and fight against each other. But when it comes to religion, they get afraid and they begin to try to work out their differences on a more different level. So then this great communistic power, I said that the whole, the great Catholic Church, will cater to communism. And sure enough, it came to pass. The papers carried it, said that there was a little conference between the powers of communism and the powers of the Catholic Church. And they got together, and the papacy made the statement that they would have to cater to the communist power because it seemed to be the thing of the hour, and they needed something to carry them. And so it was. The communist power accepted them, and whether you remember or not, the Pope that is in there right now is a communist power. It is a Polish thing, and there's something that's going on with the Poland people right now. A Polish thing, and if you remember, the paper spoke of a deadly wound. This individual, the Pope, took a deadly wound that we said, according to what we understood, would be healed. And it was healed. And it said that all of the world wondered after the beast when the wound was healed. Now, it is a profound fact that you might not have noticed it, but all of the world, the entire world, came when they anointed, as we say, him Pope. Anointed him Pope, or brought him in during that power of inauguration, or doing that power of election or whatever, inheritance, doing the successorship of this great power, the entire world came out. And they said there was more people, more great powers represented there than ever before in the history of the world to any papacy. So then we see that it happened just exactly the way that God said that it would happen. Now, in this, one came just before him when the Bible spoke of that which would continue for a short spell. And then after that would just be gone. Whereas it happened just that way. Now these things have a more definite meaning. But nevertheless, we see in the transition of these things that what God has said is taking place and many people are not even seeing it. It's happening just exactly the way that God said. And nobody's paying any attention to it. In that time, the Bible said Michael would stand for the people. Right now, there's been something that's been taking place. Look at Begin and some of the others as they come to the forefront for Israel. And look at this great thing that's beginning to take place. I wish we had time tonight to elaborate just exactly concerning what this great thing concerning the prince is. But anyway, if you'll notice that John saw this great beast. There was bare feet. There was the leopard body and there was the lion head. He saw the constitution of these three great kingdoms, which one time had been rivals or one time had fought with each other. He saw these great kingdoms under a great power, under a great mind, and under a great leadership come together. Now I'm convinced that the power that will bring them together is the power of the Rothschild. The great money man of this world will bring them together, having to do with the Illuminati, and they will come together. There is a man child and there is a child of wrath, or a Rothschild. And Solomon said, money answereth to all things, and money is the god of this world. Mammon. God, you cannot serve God and serve mammon, which is money. Now, therefore, the god of this world is money, and the powers of the Rothschild, already they are so great and so mighty, they've been known to finance a war. And they boasted that they would rule the world and could rule it. No matter who was in control, they would be the controlling factor. So then it is true already that Israel is carried away with the Rothschild. There are so many good things that they have done for Israel. They have so much power over Israel that Israel is in their hands right now. So then we see this great thing beginning to mature. We see the deception. We see this great thing coming in. We see the numerical order of things coming in. We see everything going under a number. We see the money turning to a numerical order. And they're about to do away, as I've said before, with the money power so far as the printed material. When it comes to the printed dollar and these kind of things, think of the hundreds and millions and billions of dollars that could be saved if they'd done away with the paper money. Think of how that Antichrist could cause craft to prosper by indoctrinating the people with the idea that there wouldn't be any more robbery because they'd have no more money. There'd be no problems between wife and children and whatever because there'd be no more money. There wouldn't be any problems in the banking system of the checks and whatever because there would be no more paperwork. There would be no more money. It would just be a computerized system of a computerized number. Now, if you remember, we made the statement a long time ago that this would take place. After that, you remember how that they began to impose this thing upon those that was getting checks from the welfare or those that was getting government checks, how that they requested that they leave the money with them and just let them give them a number so that they wouldn't have to be worried with the paperwork or with the money. And I said that it would grow until we get to where that down at the corner market you wouldn't take any money. It would get to the place to where all they'd have to do is computerize the number. You would show your number that you was valued at such and such. And if it be so, it would be an all thing common, which would be an antitype of the government of God with an antichrist at the head of it. And that all you would have to do is show the number under the light, just the same way they check the stuff in the store right now. And with this, that your number would entitle you to food, and your number would entitle you to position in life, and your number would entitle you to convenience. We spoke of this very thing, and the Bible said the beast in consolidating his kingdom, it would be that anyone that did not receive this mark would not be entitled to anything. They could not eat, they could not drink, they could not buy, they could not sell, because your money would be of no value. It would be a number instead of money. We spoke of this when we was over in Brussels. We went by this great building that's got this great beast, this great computerized system that is so great that the man that worked with it told us on the plane, said the thing, he explained to us how it operated and said it is such a brain that if anything goes wrong, it will tell you what to do to it to fix the thing. And so then he said it is so powerful that it will control all of the telephones of the world. Everybody that makes a telephone call, he said it will automatically control the telephone call. He said it is so powerful that it will control all of the bank operations, that whether you are home or abroad, that your money or your number or whatever would be issued and work through this great computerized system. And strangely enough, whether coincidental or not, this great brain that is over there, 20 and 1, that covers about three stories, this great brain that's over there, around it is 10 great offices or headquarters of 10 great powers that are the dominant powers or predominant powers of the earth, or was the powers that made up the kingdom of the Roman Catholic Church in the Dark Age. They are right there in that same place, which apparently denotes the 10 horns that will be on the head of the beast. The great brain, the great horns. Now, the Bible says that these nations will literally despise the great whore, or the beast. These nations will literally despise that power, but they will give their kingdoms to it for 1 hour. We brought out some revelation concerning some things, concerning Jesus, the Ten Commandments, and the relation here in the times, things that we're not going to speak of tonight. But I want you to notice on just the natural side of things how that this is coming to pass. Now look at it. Here everything is set. The scene is set. Israel is rising up. Everybody is having problems. Wars and rumors of wars. Children killing the parents. The signs of the times. Gullible, eating and drinking. Marrying as it was in the days of Noah. Lovers of pleasure. More than lovers of God. Everything that the Bible said would take place is taking place. Now, notice the constitution of these three major predominant powers. The bare feet, the leopard body, and the lion head. The government, communistic government, the bare feet that carried the whore. The great power of Babylon, the head. That great religious Roman Catholic power, a religion that said, do whatever you want to. Whenever you get ready, it doesn't matter with us. Just bring the paycheck and make your confession to the priest. Now, somebody would say, that's not the way it is. I happen to know that that's the truth because I have had conference with different men that have been powers and dignitaries in the Roman Catholic Church, and it's that bad and even worse. So then, this great Babylonian head being the head of the beast, there is a religious head of the beast that is the prophetical utterance as to do whatever they say. There is the beast, which is the governmental foundation of this great thing, which is the communist government, founded upon the communist government. The communist government holding up this religious state of affair. Then there is the one thing that we know that all compromises in that holds the head and the feet together. It is the power of sports. It is the Grecian power of sports, or it is the leopard body that John saw. That leopard body of the recreations of the world, of the sports of the world, coming together all in a great constitution. What was the leopard body? What was that leopard body? It was the people that make up the body of the beast. For you are nothing but a beast unless you are a son of God. And you will wander after the beast, which is the flesh and the multitude of people, of the powders and the paints and the lipsticks and the eating and the drinking and the adultery and the fornication and the ball games and all the rest of it. You will wander after it because all of the world was attracted by the joy and jubilance of the beast and that exhilarating feeling that they gave off in their ball games and their dances and their frolics. They were all captivated by the powers of Lucifer that just let go, you know, in the human body. So then there will be a body of people, which is a leopard body, a body that is spotted. And when you say leopard body, a spotted body, which means when you say leopard, you're saying a constitution of people of every color. It is a spotted body, an interwoven body, and a mixed body, a leopard body, that which constitutes the sports. It doesn't matter when or where. Sports reaches around the world. Like not too long ago, even a boy by the name of Gonzalo that came out of South America, down in South America, Bolivia, South America, where we preached. He was the champion of South America or of Bolivia. He came over here. He was a Spanish boy. See, but sports is great and mighty down in South America. They are great and mighty in Russia. They're great and mighty here in America. All kind of powers of athletes, all kind of men that are great, from every walk of life, all nationalities, they will constitute the great body of the leopard. And the leopard will be united with the religious head, the Babylonian head. What is the Babylonian head? It is the Trinitarian teaching of three gods that is confusing, that nobody can understand. It is the Trinitarian teaching and the indoctrination of three gods. Nobody can understand it, not even them that mess with it. They don't understand it. And all of those Trinitarian powers are coming together. You say, Brother Fike, does that mean that somebody being a Trinity, as you refer to it, doesn't have salvation? Let me tell you something. I myself believed in three gods until I learned better. And really, I didn't believe in three gods because I never could figure out how there could be three gods. But down in my heart, I believed in God, and they said there was three of them. So I said, well, he must be three. I don't know how he's three, but if they say he's three, then he's three. But it's a Babylonian Catholic doctrine that's been handed down through the Dark Age, coming out with Martin Luther to the Protestants, and those that follow it are the daughters of the great Hoa. The Bible said, I will burn her flesh with fire. All of them are going into the lake of fire. So then it is a true fact that among them there are the elect of God that will come out. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, who are they? They are you and they are me and they are all the others in the different true churches and the true body of Christ that's in the world today. Right here in my midst as I speak to you, here's the Church of Christ. Preacher, here's a Baptist preacher over here. We've got a Catholic man down here in Mexico that works with us, which is the brother to the sister sitting up here in the balcony. There is the Baptist, the Methodist, the Catholic, all of them where God has pulled the elect out of that thing and brought them to the true acknowledgement of the one God. So then we see that great Babylonian head, that religious head, that power that unites itself with the leopard body, which says, yea and amen. There's nothing wrong with sports, yea and amen. If you want to be a great athlete, we say that there's nothing wrong with it. We sanction it, yea and amen. And so then, the powers of corruption, which is the religious Babylonian head, will say, yea and amen to the leopard body. Gather them all together. Doesn't matter who, we're just one great brotherhood. Let's have a good time because God loves us. And the communistic government will carry it on and say, yea and amen. If everybody's happy, then we're happy because as long as we're the government, that's all we want. As long as we can control you, that's all we want. And the great leopard body will say, well, we don't care who the government is as long as we can jump and hoop and holler and have a good time and you don't bother us, carry on. And the religious power will say, well, the only thing that we're concerned about is the consolation to know that God is with us and we believe that He is because everything's going well. There's still plenty of grace. Yeah and amen. Carry on. And so they'll confederate in one great body. And in this, the Antichrist will rise up and the world will take the number 666 because God will withdraw and the tribulation period will be brought in. Now you say, how close are we to that? I believe with all of my heart that when Brezhnev died, that had to do with it right there. I made the statement that I was looking for the death of Brezhnev, and I felt sure that when he went out, that a younger man would step into his place, and they say one has. And I believe they call it the KGB or whatever. It's a power like I see IA or what here in the United States or whatever we call it. It's a power that is similar to that power. And this man that took Brezhnev's place has been a chief leader in it. Isn't that right? That's the report that I've got. Now, whether that's right or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, that if it is right, it fits just exactly perfect with what we call the CIA over here. Now, see, it fits just exactly perfect to bring in a man to that caliber that would be hard, that would rise up in a power of law, that would rise up against Israel, and that would rise up against everything that's godly and everything that's holy, because that's what the KGB was for. And the Caesars that was under this great power, this was the very same thing that one of the persecuted ones had stated. This was the power that was used, he said, to trample the brains of the saints out. As they dug a ditch, put a wire through the hand, lined them up, pushed them into the ditch, covered them up to the head, and let the Caesars on their horses trample their brains out. It is just exactly the power that needs to be in office to bring to pass that great power of horsemen and the battle that is to come in the valley of Armageddon, to where the horsemen will come and the blood will run up to the horse's bridle. If you remember when Sister Betty and I was over there, you remember that our leader, David, pointed out that right at the valley that there was a village of the powers of Russia. And at any time that power can rise up, it's right at the valley. So then we see that sports is one of the most evil things that's ever come on the face of the earth. That it is the body of the beast, and the beast, when you say beast, it is people that reject God. And some of them brute beasts made to be taken and burned. So then the leopard body of this great beast is putting itself together. While we as a minister, or you as a people, while we stand off and we say, well, who can rise up against this great beast? Who can make war against the beast? I'll tell you who can make war against him. I can make war against him in the name of the Son of God and use a two-edged sword until he is no more. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that Jesus Christ came back upon a white horse, and them that are called true and faithful rose up and made war against the beast when no other nation, no other people dared to do it. And he survived, and he brought in a new world, and he brought in a new kingdom. So then the beast, the great mighty beast, somebody says, who can rise up against sports? The beast. Who can rise up against the government? The beast. Who can rise up against the religion of the beast? If the saints of God doesn't rise up, who's going to rise up? The Bible said they'll rise up and take the kingdom and possess it forever and forever. And so then in that day, Michael, the great prince, shall stand for his people. Did you notice that Israel hath risen up? The great bear said, you better not do it, but Israel did it anyway. America said, you better not do it, but Israel did it anyway. And the nations round and about said, you better not do it, but Israel did it anyway. So then the beast doesn't stop the move of God. When God gets ready, God will move. And God's people is going to unite with Israel, and Israel, by the power of the saints of God and the word of God, is going to overthrow all the rest of the world and bring in that one great power, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, the government of God. So then when we see the beast coming in, should I then hold my peace? Somebody would say, Brother Pike, do you expect to overthrow the world of sports? Is that what you're trying to do? I definitely expect the world of sports to be overthrown, and it will be overthrown. And we'll be overthrown by this very gospel that I'm preaching and the people I'm preaching to. But it is not my drive to try to overthrow sports in stopping sports, because sports is for the world and for worldly people. And they should do whatever they're going to do until their time comes to an end. Like the demon said, are you going to torment us before our time?
Just go on and let them do what they will. If a sinner is a sinner, let him sin. If a bird is a bird, let him sing. But I say that we are to preach against the sports and this recreational thing that has infiltrated the church. And we're to condemn it and tell the pastors that they're backslidden and on their way to hell. And the people that they're backslidden and on their way to hell. And they better get sports out of the church. And they better get out of the world. And they better put a bloodline between them and the world and between them and sports. I say that they better rise up and they better check their oil. And they better trim their lamps and they better see if they got any light. Because the bridegroom is coming. The midnight cry is here, and behold, the bridegroom cometh, and it's time for you to rise up and trim your lamps and to check your oil, and go ye out to meet him, because he is coming. The bridegroom cometh. So it is that hour when the watchman on the wall, or the watchman's on the wall, the true watchman's on the wall, are crying out, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Many of them are going to rise up, and they're going to try to get away from sports, and they're going to find out that they don't have any oil. But there's still people that's caught in that hideous thing that's going to come to their senses and withdraw from that evil power of corruption and acknowledge the Word of God and suddenly realize that it is displeasing to God, and they're going to trim their lamps. They're going to find the Holy Ghost is in their heart, and they do have oil, and they're not just a bunch of charismatics running to and fro, and any old way will do. They'll rise up, and they'll get right with God, and they'll come back to true holiness. They'll trim their wicks, and the oil will be in their lamp, and their light will begin to show, and all of the isles of the world will be converted unto their light. The Bible said, "Lest your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And they're going to come back to their good works. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity, and let him maintain good works. Let him that beareth the vessel of God be a vessel unto honor, and let him be holy. So then it is a true fact that God has looked down, and God has seen the powers of Babylon take his vessels and drink out of his vessels and make sport with his vessels and ball games and whatever by defiling his vessels and taking them out of the house of the temple to use them for their own gullible desire. And God is going to tear Babylon down, and God's going to kill the king of Babylon, and God's going to overthrow this world and overturn these things. To the extent that John said, I saw the great buildings, the great nations, the great cities crumble to the ground. It's actually going to happen. It's going to happen. You know, but I'm glad of one thing, and that is we that are Christians are not blind. We that are Christians don't care to know what the score of the ball game is. We are not interested in being part of being numbered with the leopard body of that great beast that God is going to slaughter and burn in the fire. For the Bible said the beast was taken and he was cast into the fire. So then we're not interested in that. I thank God for a government which is the government of God. So we're not interested in the government of the powers of communism. I thank God for the voice of the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Word of God. So we're not interested in a Babylonian commandment of doing some ritualistics of counting beads and some kind of foolishness that come from the old Babylonian kingdom. I'm interested in the things of God, the great King Jesus Christ, and the government of God in the new world, and the things that God has ordained for them that love him. These things we should cherish, these things that we should understand, and we should be about our Father's business to convert the world to God and to the knowledge of these things, that our people, our brothers and sisters that are caught in the prison of that intellectual power, that they should be released. It is your duty. Sicken in prison, you visited me not. Compromise. Don't say nothing. Don't rise up. Let them go on. Let Christ remain sick and be imprisoned by the garbage and the filth and the intellectual powers of the indoctrination of frolic and foolishness. And in the day of the judgment, he'll say, I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. You didn't talk to me. You didn't feed me. You didn't help me. I know we do all of that naturally, but he also intends for us to do it spiritually. And he said, if you love me, feed my lambs. I want you to stand with me. Thank you for your kind attention tonight. I purpose in my heart tonight that I would express a few of these things if it was the will of God. And sure enough, when I opened my Bible, he turned it immediately to Daniel 12 that I might do exactly what I felt he wanted done tonight. And I trust that these things that we speak of, that you might lay them to heart and you might ponder over them, think about them, because the time is at hand. John, seal not the book, for the time is at hand. Let him that is just be just still, and let him that is filthy be filthy still, for the time is at hand. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Go ye out to meet him. Go ye out to meet him. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Rise up. Get to your father's business. Go out and meet him. Don't sit around and wait till he comes over where you are. Rise up to be about the father's business and go ye out and do his will. Go ye out to meet him. To meet him. Run out and say, oh Lord, I'm going to do something for you. Lord, here I am. I'm coming. I'm dressing. I'm trimming my lamp. I'm doing my best. I'm trying to get in shape. I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming. I'm coming, Lord. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Nations are breaking. Israel is awakening. It's the signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentile days numbered, with horrors encumbered, eternity soon will unfold. The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with God's Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is here. You know the song says, the fig tree is growing, Jerusalem's restoring. It's the hour of restoration. The throne that's long been dethroned is beginning to come into view again. Things are beginning to happen, beloved friend. And the hour of redemption is here. What are you going to do? What am I going to do? What are we going to do? There is but one thing. Rise and take the kingdom. Did you know the kingdom of God is within you? The kingdom of God has suffered violence at the hand of intellectual powers. It has suffered violence at the hand of intellectual powers ever since the crucifixion of Jesus, in that he brought the kingdom into the world. The law and the prophets until then the kingdom. Men pressed their way into it, preached the kingdom is at hand. And here we are. What are we going to do? Rise and take the kingdom. Take the kingdom. But you know, it's not just the kingdom within us. I say this so often. The Bible said in the kingdoms of this world, they also have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And our Christ shall reign forever and ever. So then it is a true fact that not only the kingdom which is within me, but the kingdoms of this world shall be converted unto God. And God shall overthrow Satan's kingdom and redeem the kingdoms of this world to himself. Thus he will be the king of all kings and bring in that lovely government of Christ for the restoration of that great millennium age. And it's at hand, folks. It's at hand. What are we going to do? While he's playing tonight,
I want to sing this little chorus, "Come Into My Heart." While we're singing this, I want you to come down to the altar just for a moment. Something happened today. Sing it with me. Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Can you lift your hands up now? Come into my heart, Lord. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in to stay. Come in today. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. So thankful tonight. So grateful for those that love Jesus and those that care. I'm so grateful for His wonderful loving presence. God is so good. I look and I see you loving the Lord. I look back tonight and I saw a little angel back there. And I thought, Lord, it's so wonderful to see even the little ones in church. I hadn't seen the little one in a day or two. They come down to the house the other day. Somebody brought them. But it's so important that we serve God. It is so important that we follow after the Lord. If you've never made a commitment to the Lord, if you've never given God a chance to save you, to cleanse your heart, folks, don't keep putting Christ off. Don't keep taking up time with the things of the world. Don't keep sidestepping Jesus. Don't go on and go on and go on doing the little things. The Bible said the little foxes spoil the vines. Don't do that. This is no time for that. This is the time to remember that you are a great royal priesthood, that you are a power of leadership, and that you're endowed with the understanding of the end time, as God told Daniel, and that it is your responsibility and your duty to help open the eyes of them that do not see and them that do not understand, to be a light in your area and to your generation. Think about it, folks. You've got life. You've got understanding. You've got health. Just think about it now. Think about the great opportunity that Daniel had. Here you are, God's Daniel of today. Here you are, the leader, the one with the understanding. What will you do with it? What can we do with it but be about our Father's business? God's great Daniel, oh beloved man of God, I come to give you skill. I come to give you skill. What will you do? People of God, God's Daniel, God's great men, and here you are, the women, God's great leaders, as it was with Deborah, with Mary, with Elizabeth, and with the other great women of old. Great and mighty women. Paul said, great women. Here you are with the understanding of the living God. What are you going to do with it? What will you do with it? Every woman does something with her life. What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to use your life to project Christ and the beauty of the church? What will you do? You men, what will you do as being a power and an authority in the earth? A great and a mighty thing before the living God. What will you do? Will you project Christ in your life as the image of the Son of God? What will you do? I want you to close your eyes, lift your hands, and I want you to think. I love you, people. You're my children in God. I love you. I care for you. I pray for you all the time. You're mine in Christ. And I want you to think of the importance of the things that I'm telling you. And I want you to realize that you can be something great and mighty and lay up a treasure in heaven that'll never fade away. You can be wonderful and great and mighty even in this present world. And then have the life and powers of riches in the world to come. Eternal life and eternal security. You've got it right at your fingertips. You've got it, folks. What will you do with it? The Bible said, hold fast and don't let any man take your crown. Don't let anyone take your crown. I want my crown. I trust that you want your crown. I want my crown. I don't want anybody to take my crown. I want my crown. Oh, I feel the wonderful presence of the Almighty God. I feel the Holy Ghost of God. I feel Him moving in our midst. I feel His presence. I feel hearts that are concerned about the love of God and the glory of the living God. Give your bodies to Jesus, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be holy in body as well as in spirit. While you're standing here praising the Lord, I want to pray with you. I want you to lift your hands and I want us to pray together. Father, Lord of heaven, tonight I ask you, O precious one, as I feel your lovely spirit, feeling your lovely, precious spirit, so great and so mighty in my body and in my mind and in my heart. Oh, Lord, it is so beautiful, so lovely. I trust my Father that I never do anything to grieve you nor displease you. Father, that we should not have this lovely fellowship through the royal blood of your darling Son, Jesus. Oh, my Father, tonight, look down upon these, Father, that have drifted and these that have forgotten. Oh, beloved Father, and strengthen them and restore them and bring them back to the wonderful foundation of Jesus Christ. Bring them back to the altars of God. Bring them back, Father, to their eternal security. Let them realize that losing that eternal reward for such a temporal moment of problems in this world, Father, there is no comparison. Lord Jesus, may they have this heavenly treasure in their earthen vessels. Beloved Father, tonight heal their sick bodies. If there be one among them that's sick tonight, I trust that you would heal them. Lord, you've been good to keep our people holy, keep our people healed, and keep our people from having bad diseases. You've been good to them, my Father. And oh, Lord, I pray that you'll continue to do this. I know that the hour has come. Master, I spoke to them of it. Lord, when things would begin to befall them and trouble would begin to come in and things would begin to happen to them that they would be shocked at, Lord, because of the mixing of the leaven. But, oh, Lord, you're still able to keep them. You're still able to love them. You're still able to hold them. You're still able to overshadow them. My Father, help them to draw in closer, to believe the more, and to walk even closer with you. Seeing that the day is getting darker, gross darkness covering the people, let them trim their wicks. Let them check their lamps. Let them be sure that they're full of oil. Oh, my Holy Father, in Jesus' name, be with us tonight. Bless us and forgive us. Bring us together night after night in worship, day after day in spiritual endeavor of world evangelism, in spreading this gospel through Canada and Mexico, Lord, into the ends of the earth, into the islands and over the ocean, Father, to the foreign fields. My Father, do it in Jesus' name. Enlarge the borders of our garment till it covers the world as a brotherhood. Lord, as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, Lord, that we might Lord God of heaven, as the song has said, crown the goods with brotherhood from sea to sea. Oh, Lord, let it be so that a great, wonderful power, Lord, of your unification will rise up in our heart, that we might be one great body of sheep, that the one great shepherd, even the Lord Jesus Christ, might come and receive us. I ask you to do it in Jesus' name, my Father. Let's sing this little chorus, and then we'll let you go. There's a stream that's flowing down from Calvary. There's a stream that's flowing, and it cleanses me from sin and shame. In Jesus' name, there's a stream that's flowing down from Calvary. One more time now. That stream, it's flowing down from Calvary. That stream, it's flowing, and it cleanses me from sin and shame. In Jesus' name, that stream is flowing down from Calvary. How many of you feel the wonderful stream of heaven in your heart tonight? Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. The Bible said we draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy. And the joy that we draw it out with is the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Tonight, I want you to lift your hands up with me again and close your eyes. I want you to search your hearts, examine yourselves, and see if you be in the faith. Examine yourselves, see if you be in the faith. Tonight, as Brother Dole comes to dismiss us, I want Brother Dole to come. I really see something tonight. Today, we brought the blessing and the curse. Today, we made mention today that you are now God's people, and I set before you my laws and my desires. It is up to you to do the things I ask. I ask you to close your eyes, to lift your hands, to reverence God. I ask you to search your hearts, examine yourselves, see if you be in the faith tonight. Faith is by the hearing of the word. In the last days, many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, doing the things that they want to do rather than the things that God told them. Past feeling, beyond feeling, it won't bother them to do the worldly things. They don't have any conviction. They don't have anything to check them. They don't have anything that can keep them from evil. I ask you to close your eyes. You know, some people want them as much as close their eyes. You ask them to close their eyes in reverence of the sanctuary. Lift your hands, examine yourselves, beloved friend. See if your conviction is just a theory, just an ideology, just an old fable, just something that you've heard, something that you've been taught out of your ritualistics of the past, or see if it is a conviction of the Word. If you're believing the Word, the only thing that's going to save is conformity to the Word. Faith makes you conform to the Word. Faith is a form of submission and surrender of your own desire and thoughts to his desire, to believe his thoughts instead of yours, his ways instead of yours. As our brother comes to pray for you tonight, think upon it. Think upon it, Christian friend. I ask you in the name of the Lord tonight, think upon it. Jesus loves you tonight. He'll stand by you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But you stand with him because you're going to need him. You're going to need him. Shortly, you're going to need him more than you ever dreamed that you'd need him.